Once I was listening to someone preach who was saying something so wrong. He was saying that if you needed a miracle, you had to do this and that and whatever he was asking them to do. He was saying something so strange, something totally so far removed from the truth of God. Then another time, someone came to me and said, "Pastor, there was someone who was preaching and needed money. A lady approached him and asked him to pray for her son who was lost in drugs and gangs. This woman was willing to do anything to save her son, and that preacher said to her, 'If you want your son to be saved, sell your house, bring the money here, make a deal with the Lord, and your son will be saved.'" I was filled with, suddenly I became sick to my stomach. The lady was going to do it, but people there stopped her. How do we manage to fall in the hands of so many gospel scammers, emotional preachers? Now, for the record, not everyone is like that, but there are many who take advantage of people's faith, many who take advantage of people's needs to make money. Many use the church and religion to make money. By means of these words, I want to talk to these preachers and ministers who probably wish I am not preaching to them right now. Why? Because I want you to listen to me. Because I am going to throw down your arguments. Yes, your religious arguments that seek to take control, manipulate, and make people do what you want. First of all, I want you to remember how you started. God gave you the calling, but the riches of this world took you astray. What good does it do to have the riches of this world when in heaven you do not have a place near the Father? Please return to the Lord and remember your first deeds and see where you have fallen from. Does not the Lord say in His word, "I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place"? Today, I approach those who simply seek goods from God. The best good you can seek is salvation, which is eternal life. Consequently, the word found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33, which is well known and is a great truth, says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first the kingdom of God. Do you know who is the kingdom of God? Jesus is. Seek for true repentance. Seek for your lives to be transformed. Seek for your thoughts to be renewed. This is what Jesus is trying to say. Seek for your life to be totally changed. There are more important things than food and drink, or than what we are going to wear. God is more important. He has put eternity inside of you. This is more important, but listen, I want to make something very clear before you say, "Well, what Pastor Elias is saying is big. He's right because many mock God, because many do this, because many do that. Hence, I do not give money. I do not give an offering." Do not take this message as an excuse to hide your hardness of heart, because Jesus taught that it is better to give than to receive. There is a principle in the kingdom, the principle of generosity, the principle of giving. We give to the Lord when we go to church, so we sustain the work of God, and God sustains us. How do you think we pray the Word of God? We cannot deny that the world moves with money, so we use it to benefit others, to benefit the preaching of the Word of God. If others are using it to manipulate and become rich, that is different. But because many do it, I cannot dismiss the principle of giving. I want you to be very clear about this, because many begin to justify themselves and say, "This is the reason I do not give. I am not going to feed anyone." Well, I am not against God's word, which says that he who preaches the gospel, may he live of the gospel. But it does not say, forge the gospel. Neither does it say, use it to manipulate others to benefit yourself. This is where the problem is. Thus, I try to teach my church what the Apostle Paul said. Let each give as he proposed in his heart. A heart which has been transformed by God is a generous heart that is always willing to give before receiving, because his motivation is not based on what he's going to get in return, rather on honoring God with what he does. And it is not only about giving money. I am talking about this subject because it touches sensitive areas. I am also talking about the time we volunteer, us offering our help. I am talking about mercy. I am talking about giving ourselves for others. I am talking about favor. I am talking about many things that are not only money. It is included here, but it is not only it. Everything that you do by word or by deed, do it for God and not for men. When you give to the Lord, whether it is money, whether it is time, working in your job or in the ministry, do it with a generous heart, because God is blessing you each day with the simple fact of being, of letting you open up your eyes. God's blessing is not summarized on whether I have money in my pocket or not. I want you to understand this. Get rid of the concept that those who preach the gospel of prosperity are getting in your head by saying that if you have nothing, you do not belong to the kingdom of God. It is not about this. The kingdom is more than food and drink. The book of Romans says that it is more than that. Enjoy your life if you have to walk. Enjoy it if God gave you a car. Enjoy it if you have to ride a bike. A life in abundance is not enjoyed by the goods we have, rather, by the Father we have. This is the difference. The Apostle Paul used to say, "I have learned to live in scarcity, and I have learned to live in abundance. Nor one or the other will rob me of my peace, nor what I am in the Lord." Perhaps we will have debts at a certain point, difficult situations to confront. Of course we will, all the time. But we can face anything in Christ who strengthens us. It is in him in which we have the real life. Christ is life itself. So beware of those who try to manipulate God's word. Life is more than eating and drinking. Therefore, I am recording a new message again and asking you, what are you seeking? Sow because the sower reaps. There is nothing wrong with this verse. What it is wrong is the motivation behind this verse, which is manipulation. You may tune in to my radio station and hear me talk about the projects we are doing. I prayed to the Father for the radio station, and one of these projects was a radio station where the healthy word of God could be preached and productive advice could be given on how to apply the word of God in order to live in a healthy manner, knowing the Lord. Then you switch the station and listen to other stations asking for money, or you turn on the television and hear people say, call and ask for a miracle, make a deal with God, and give such a man of money. Come on, it is obvious what they are doing. I do not want to mention names, but since when the gospel became a business? May God have mercy, and may we really align ourselves to the truth of Christ. Perhaps these ministers and pastors are listening to me and say, but then how do we preach the gospel if we don't ask for money? I believe that the one who called you is the same who trains you, the same who backs you up, and he, God, will move people's hearts so his work will continue to advance. I believe there are generous people who want to support the work of the Lord so that the message continues to reach everywhere and we do not have to force things. Here is where the difference is. You learn to depend on the Lord and not on what people can give you. Minister who is listening to me, do not preach in order to collect a big offering and bring something home. Preach because you have been sent by the Lord and you have a Father who is aware of the things you need. And you who attends a church or receives the word of God, do not go after a miracle, because when your motivation is behind the miracle, when God performs the miracle for you, you get lost. I have met so many people who have asked for prayer so God may do something in their life, and when God performs it, goodbye. They disappear from the surface of the earth. They get lost. They were so much in need of a car, but when God gives them the car, they do not go to church on Sunday anymore, because it is the only day when they have to wash their car. They ask God for a job, and when God gives them the job, they stop going to church. They no longer congregate. They no longer study the word of God. And they no longer have time to pray, because their job absorbs all their time. They have to work, work, and work. They ask God to restore their family. And when God restores their family, they no longer congregate. They no longer have time for God, because Sunday is their family day. Wow. How do things change? Do they not? I am touching on a truth which might be too sensitive. How many miracles has God performed for you and you have been like the 9 lepers? 10 asked Jesus for healing and only one approached him to thank him and follow him. The others did not care. They not even said thank you. They were healed and went to do their thing. Perhaps you are listening to this word and you are saying, what a harsh message. Or you might be smiling. But I need you to understand something. God is not a fireman who just extinguishes fires. He loves you. This is true. But do not overestimate this love. Do not mock this love. Lord, if you do this, I promise you X. And when God does it, we forget the promises we made to the Lord. This is a harsh message, but necessary. We need to awake. We need to awake. We do not buy salvation. God performs miracles out of love and not out of how much you can give him or how much you can offer to him or how many promises you can make to him. We think that we can move God with money. We think that we can move God with our good intentions. It is not about this. The gospel is a life of abundance, but it is based on transformation more than in a change of thought. It is time for us to reconsider. I am talking to the church. We need to reconsider as a church, where are we heading to and what are we allowing in our life? Let us not allow the gospel to be negotiated with. Do not remain silent. Let us not allow the gospel to be negotiated with. And for those who are sympathizers and do not go to a church, but listen to the word of God, the true message of the gospel is this. Christ came from heaven to the earth and died in the cross to pay the price for our sins. He came to show us the Father so we could have life, a life in abundance through him. Consequently, he resurrected to give us that life. He wants to rule your life. He does not just want to save you. He wants to rule you. He wants to teach you how to live. The question is, will you allow him? It is not about sympathizing. Perhaps what I'm going to say may sound somewhat harsh, but I need you to awaken also that thought about your excuse. I am not a Christian. I simply like it. But I am this or I am that. Religion does not save, my beloved friend. Religion does not save us. Good deeds do not save us. Christ does. There is only one way to the Father. The word says it is Jesus. Stop sympathizing and saying, I like the devotionals. I like the translator's voices. This is okay, but there is more than that. You must allow Jesus to enter your life, to change your heart. This is what you must allow. This is what it is really important. In heaven, they are not gospel sympathizers. In heaven, they are individuals who made the determination to follow Christ. Either I am or I am not. Simple. Father, I thank you for this word. I ask, Lord, that this word be life and reaches each heart. May many be touched. Teach us, Lord. By means of these words, may them see the reflection of a Father who who loves us, who corrects us, and who encourages us, because he wants the best for us. Thank you, Lord. This was a translation of a devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He sends you warm regards and blessings.